So let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is that give you a moment to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit, that all that we do will be glorifying to Him. You went to the trouble to get up and get here. You didn't have to fight turbulent weather, though. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful in 2018 to begin this year, Heavenly Father, worshiping You with those who are like-minded, studying Your Word, growing in the knowledge of Christ, growing in the knowledge of our God. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. January 18th, 3 days ago, Louis M. R. Stead, S-T-E-A-D, died in 1917. Now, why do I even bring that up? Louis Stead was in the 1800s, late 1800s, wanted to be a missionary, wasn't able physically to do it. She did marry a man, and they had a daughter, and they went to New York, to the beach, outside of New York, and they were sitting there having their picnic, and they heard a commotion, and her husband saw a little boy drowning in the ocean. So he just naturally took off, went out there to save and rescue the little boy. Well, as it would be, the little boy pulls him down, and they both died in front of Louise Stead and her daughter. And that just devastated them. And after, because of that death of income, she was in near poverty, and had to get into what was going on. And she penned the hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," which we're going to sing. And I want you to pay attention to the words as we sing through it and think about it. She will recover physically, and she will die a missionary in Africa. But she just, in 1917, but the circumstances, just think how different people handle circumstances. Some become alcoholics. Some become very angry at God and live in anger at God. And just different ways, different people. And we all have to handle these things. We all have to handle death and hardship and things that happen in life, cancer and different things. We all have to decide how we're going to handle it. And she found a wonderful peace in just trusting the Lord. So let's stand and sing 375, page 375, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
I have pre-recorded three verses, so we'll sing the first, second, and last.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
she said that all those things that had happened caused her to really learn to just trust him and more in her life. So I thought that'd be a good hymn to sing this morning. Okay, first and foremost, Anel, it's so good having you back. Man, it's so good. We're so thankful. We're so thankful that you're recovering, and we're going to continue to be in prayer for continual strength, and just so thankful for you being back with us. Please be in prayer for Judith. She had a rough night and is not feeling well this morning, so please be in prayer. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
There's a young man that's kind of indirectly affiliated with our youth. He lost his brother in a car wreck last week, I think it was. His name is Truman. He is
Truman.
Truman is the boy's name. He is maybe 14, and his brother was 18, and they were pretty close. So please be a prayer for Truman and their family as they go through this.
And his brother was killed in a car wreck.
He was on his way home from work, fell asleep.
That's a shame. Wow. We'll be in prayer for Truman. Be in prayer for you and your contact with him. That'd be very good. Yes.
Greg King and family.
Greg King.
Yes.
And family.
He had to have his leg amputated, his second leg amputated yesterday. He's a diabetic.
So he's already had one leg amputated?
Yes, in December, and they went ahead and had to take up to the knee the other leg. Actually, it was Friday. So just be in prayer for the family, because it's really going to be difficult.
Absolutely.
Has a bad back. It's going to be hard for her to handle him, just for everything. And they're Christians, but they need prayer. There's a little.
Well, we can pray. You know, just taking a thing from Luis Sneed, that this will cause them to trust him more, rather than to doubt him or become angry or something. And that's what it did for her.
It's Angie, who used to be a member here. It's her husband's cousin.
Oh, okay.
Or uncle. Mm-hmm. And so, so they're pretty close. And she said, yeah, that wife was pretty strong in her faith and about
okay.
the situation.
We'll be in prayer for the Kings. Yes.
One prayer request, one prayer request. The first one is about an ex-colleague of mine. Her name is Teresa.
Teresa?
Yeah. Her daughter was in the Richardson ISD and committed suicide.
Oh.
So this week has been hard for her.
Be in prayer for Teresa.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was a bully case or something going on, but
okay.
Yeah, the girl took her own life. And the second is, I want to quickly thank everybody for praying for me about the job search. I was able to land a job. However, I really broke somebody else's heart for turning down their job too. I feel really guilty about it, so please pray for me to see what to do to help me.
Okay. We'll continue being in prayer, Jerry. Thank you for sharing that.
I did have another prayer, or two more prayer requests.
That's fine. We have no limit.
Mackenzie, she's 5 years old. They live in Waco. She's been battling cancer for 3 years.
Whoa!
She just had her last chemo treatment and ended up in the hospital very sick that night. And now they found out she's got viral meningitis. She'll be in the hospital for weeks. This little baby has been in so much pain. And they're giving her morphine for her pain. She's in so much pain right now. Doctor said she'll beat it, but it's going to be a difficult fight. You know? So the mom's
name. What was her name again?
The little girl's name is Mackenzie.
Mackenzie.
Yeah, she used to be a coworker of Rick's, and then they moved to Waco. It's been quite a little journey
for
them.
For Mackenzie.
And then just tomorrow, I take my dad to Baylor for his scans to see if the liver cancer is gone. Remember, we did
if it's gone.
Yeah, we did radiation in October, November, and now it's been 4 months. We're going to go see if hope pray those results are no longer.
Okay, pray whether God removed it. Good.
Time to charm.
Okay. Good. Yes.
There are two people in our youth graduate group who have been affected by suicide very close to them. One is Blake, who just transferred to Washington State University. And I don't know if anybody's seen in the news, but the quarterback of that team committed suicide. And that was we feel that God has planned to put Blake in this position.
Blake McKenzie's okay.
Yeah, Blake is of no fault of any, directly handed to God to put right there in Washington State University.
Wow.
And so he recognizes that, you know, he has a role and a purpose there, but just pray that he's able to, you know, he doesn't know any of these gentlemen.
That
God committed suicide before he even met the team. The day he, I mean, like, right as he got there.
Wow.
So he's walked into this very emotional situation.
Did you leave a note?
Yes. And the girlfriend had just broke up with him, and the girlfriend happens to be a friend of my stepsister's, one of my dad's daughters.
Okay. So, and what was in the note?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I have no idea.
All right. I'm just amazed at young people so heavy today about life.
Apparently there had been some depression situation.
Yeah.
Because he had carried this burden with him, this emotional burden. But whatever had happened there with the girlfriend may have been the straw that broke the camel's back for him. But there's no accident that these all worlds are colliding either. That, you know, we know the girlfriend, we know Blake there.
So we'll definitely be in prayer.
So that's...
Be in prayer for Blake, that he'll have an opportunity to share the gospel and spiritual strength.
Right, and Ashley, the girlfriend, too, because that's a heavy burden on her as
okay,
well.
Do you know Ashley?
Remotely, because she's
okay.
A friend of... But she's a Christian also.
Oh, very good.
And then Biz's roommate, Biz Flannery Foley,
okay.
Who, her roommate walked in on her, one of her best friends that had committed suicide last week. So this is becoming more and more of an option.
Yeah.
It's not just an extreme. It is an option.
Option. We'll be in prayer for, what was the second girl's name?
Biz,
okay.
She's the little short one that comes here. And
okay. Yeah. Good, yes.
She's McKenzie, one of McKenzie's best friends.
She's good. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
No, I just did want to thank everyone who's prayed for me, and thank you
good.
For continuing to pray.
Good.
I think we're just about out of it, but I don't stop praying.
No. Well, we won't stop praying. That's for sure. People are just amazing. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, my friends in California, the one that has the mesothelioma.
Yes. Her name?
Well, he went.
I mean, his name?
His name is Neil.
Neil, okay.
Excuse me, her name is Sharon. Okay, and so he was doing good, but I got him in touch with a doctor that does other stuff. And he was doing good, but he went for his PET scan, and they said that it's growing aggressively. So they're devastated. And they're Catholic. And I'm trying to give them the gospel. You know, I give them a you know. And stuff, but they kind of can't push too much, you know, or you're going to turn them off. So I need to... For prayer, for the Holy Spirit
wisdom.
To give me the right
wisdom
stuff to say to them, so they can be a little. I know it's going to be hard, but a little more relaxed.
Very good.
You know. No one. I want him to know where he's going, and I don't think he knows.
Tell him about Louise Snead.
About who?
The one who wrote the hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," and that what she went through, and it strengthened her faith. And that's good. Mm. Wow. Yes.
One of my buddies passed away the other night.
Oh, Gigi, you're getting at that age where they just sort of slowly drift away.
He liked the smoke.
What's his name?
Guy Arsenault.
Does he have a family?
Not here. Up in Nebraska, he's got family.
Okay.
He was an intellect. He was a writer. He was a famous writer.
Well, pray for his family.
Good guy.
Okay. Yes, Kip.
I continue to pray for the Rockwall policeman and his family, Andy and Abby, and then their daughter, Reagan, just going through a lot of different problems that they need help with. I'm not sure if they're believers. They value their Bible. They read the Bible, but I don't... whatever. God knows what they need.
They named their daughter Reagan?
Yes.
It's the same thing that John Hintz's son named his daughter Reagan. They named her daughter Reagan. That's interesting. Okay. We'll be in prayer, please. Yes. Yes.
So the February, the,
ah, good.
The first weekend in February, I don't know what the date is, the first Sunday in February, yeah. February 4th?
Yes.
4th?
Yeah.
Is the chili cook-off fundraiser for the youth ministry. Love to have you all come join us if you want to bring some in. A pot of chili, let Pat know so we can have all these registered. We actually have to register chili now. with all of the prayer requests and with the folks that are challenged in understanding their faith, the suicides, the options that kids are going through today, it's more and more important to get to these kids and get them to understand the truth. And I'm very blessed and honored to be a part of this youth ministry with Larry and Brian and Lori and everybody else. I mean, we're the kind of the people that interact with them the most, but there's so many people in this congregation that are an integral part of the ministry, so we appreciate your support on that. So.
Outstanding. The people it is, it's so important that they know there is another option. And it's a stronger and more wonderful option. But it's just a shame of what's two different cases, the suicide young people. Well, that's amazing. Not amazing. It's where our world is. We're that way. All right, any other prayer requests or anything in that regard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This man, one day this week did not call me. I thought I lost a friend. I was listening to all of the things going on, and I thought, gee, don't I have a problem? I need a problem. But I got to tell you, besides here, I've got a sister who Monday is turning 76. Y'all will experience that one day. And her son has been basically like this for almost 2 years. And they've had freezing weather. And she's just, thank goodness the heat has continued. So she does all that. I just say, Lord, I don't have any problems. She's handling it. My brother, I shouldn't say this to people that haven't reached this age, but my brother's turning 80 soon. And he's got some problems with skin.
Tell him what happened to their home.
Yeah, he lives in this very wonderful area against a hill, call it a mountain. And there's about 340 two-story homes. They're gorgeous.
In California.
Out in California in Silmar. And the fires had been going on every place except there, I guess. But anyway, embers came in out of those 348 homes and went in a vent, landed deep down in his vent and burned a hole up through the house. Now he's living in another town where he goes to get his coffee. By the way, that's somebody saying there's an alert. Maybe I do have problems. Anyway, and he's taking care of his wife, who just had all of the female parts removed, and who's trying to recover from that. And it's just amazing to me how people handle this. Now, when I get sick, and he will tell you, when I get sick, I'll be all right. I kid him all the time. I love doing what I do with his sermons, and as he'll tell you today, I've made his sermon longer. You can say that. But anyway, I hope that each of you that are healthy realize, I mean, just like my family, everybody around me is not well. But I'm very thankful.
Well,
I'm well enough to know.
In defense, let them know. I did call. Your phone was out of order that day. I did call several times.
My sister sent me an iPhone 6. I've had an iPhone 5 for years. It's taken me a week
to transfer over. That's another story. That's a 30-minute story I'll tell you next time.
All right, thank you. Okay. The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is one who understands by the power of the Holy Spirit what to do with their money and their time and their lives. We have a lot going on. People, the young people, need the truth. We have two homes opened up once a week, which to me is just an absolutely profound thought. Bringing in young people, teaching them, and they're seeing some of the results of sound teaching. And so we just have a wonderful opportunity. We have missionaries. We have the internet. And, of course, our own home right here. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. Heavenly Father, we know and understand the time in which we live, even in our own country. God has been removed from the judicial system, from the educational system, taking away from our young people even the consciousness of the gospel and of God. And so, Heavenly Father, our young people are staggering in darkness, seeking and looking for truth, and we have it. So, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You continue to use this assembly, partly in spreading the gospel to these young people, to the homes that are here, the camps, that we can give them the truth, that hope, that peace, that it is sweet to trust in Jesus, not take your own life. It is so peaceful and sweet to know we have a Savior and friend who will see us through all of these things. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, does anyone not have gold, silver, and precious stones, what these are? Does anyone not have it? Everyone have a copy? All right, let's get to work and find out what the gold, silver, and precious stones are as far as Scripture is concerned. We're going to begin with the word of prayer. One of the things, my opinion, lacking in the church today, not only the gospel, but the gospel for Christians, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons that the church is so weak today, it has no energy from the energizing power of God the Holy Spirit. So let's just spend a moment in prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit, that He can effect in you the hearing and understanding of Scripture. Let's pray. First of all, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the Word of God. It's our sole authority. We have no other authority by which we evaluate things other than the Word of God. But Heavenly Father, if it were not for your Spirit, we would be as good as without it. We need your Spirit to understand it correctly, to understand the truth that is given therein. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, why did God give us the Holy Spirit? Causing us to grow spiritually is the work of God the Holy Spirit. God's plan for our life is centered around spiritual growth. You start off needing milk, baby food, but it shouldn't be long before you start taking in solid food, more sound teaching, to reach the point of maturity so that you can and will glorify Jesus Christ, which is our objective on earth. And then God can bless you in your spiritual life and bless you at the all-assuring judgment seat of Christ. We move to verse 6. God causes the growth. Verse 7, the pastor teacher plants, waters, yet it is nothing compared to what God accomplishes in the process. That process is spiritual growth. Now, in verse 8, we have the understanding. Well, let's see. Did we write in verse 8? Yeah, the next page, verse 8. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, the point of verse 8 is do not draw the wrong conclusion about the previous verse that said compared to what God does, the pastor teacher is nothing, isn't anything. That's not anything in the process of spiritual growth. But don't draw the wrong conclusions. The pastor teacher before God is extremely important, and his importance is based on what he does with the gospel and with the scriptures. In God's view, the pastor teachers are one in function, but they're not equal. And the difference is not that one plants and one waters. The difference is not in the number of converts or the size of the congregation. The difference is in the gospel and the doctrines they build upon. Now, I'm just going to talk to you now. What we're going to be seeing, gold, silver, and precious stones does not refer to Christians' works. It does not refer to rewards. These are two things that a lot of people take them for. Those are the building material of a pastor. Either gold, silver, and precious stones or wood, hay, and straw. That's the issue. What does he use in the teaching and in his ministry? So, in God's view, the pastor teachers are one in their function. The difference, what they use to build on. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:8. He who plants, he who waters, plants is starting a new church. Water, come in and feed the congregation. But each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. This is at the judgment seat of Christ. So, we've been studying the judgment seat of Christ. We've looked at various passages that each one of you will be there. We're looking now at a special chapter dealing with pastors at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the introduction to verse 8 is used to insert some information about what has just been said and to keep us from drawing wrong conclusions. When compared to what God does in the process of watering, planting, and growth, the pastor is nothing. You are not to pit one pastor against another, however. They're not equal, but you don't pit them one against the other. Now that we have established the all-importance of God, now let us take a look at the pastor-teacher is included in the Greek word translated now. He who plants and he who waters throughout all the church age are one. One what? One servant, one fellow worker. This means that every male who has the gift of pastor teacher are one category on one team. They are on the grace team. Two, the emphasis of one is that the pastor teacher does not compare himself with another pastor teacher. One of the occupational hazards other ministry is to compare yourself with a pastor teacher. It's very dangerous. This is true of new and young ones. Well, I want to be like this one, or I want this or that. But it's also handicaps older ones. We laugh about the Joel Osteens of the world. But I'll guarantee you, I'd like to have a couple of hundred more, not a couple of thousand more. See? But you've got to stay away from that kind of thinking. It just doesn't work. This can cause a pastor teacher to become arrogant if he's very prosperous in this area, jealous or despondent if not. Neutralizes, both will neutralize the ministry. Arrogance will neutralize the ministry of one who appears to be very prosperous. Despondency, jealousy will neutralize the ministry of another. What is important here is that the trouble is not with the pastor teacher, but with the people. Three, historically, in the angelic conflict, it is Satan's call to break up the grace team. He first uses various doctrines to form denominations where a pastor teacher no longer sees himself on one grace team, but now on one denomination where he competes with another denomination. It says R1. Therefore, it is wrong and harmful to pit them against one another. I'll just share with you one of the reasons. One of the reasons I like to go to the pre-trib conference in December and the pastor's conference coming up in March in Houston. One of the primary reasons I like interacting with other pastors, talking with them, seeing what's going on in their soul, in their ministry, in their church, what's happening with people. It is just really wonderful to interact with them. So I really value that opportunity. Now, a warning to them, to the pastors. While they are one, each has his own responsibility and will thus be looked upon from God. Therefore, each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For an example, to one who much has been given, much will be required. It is amazing to me, and I really mean this, someone would go through 4 years of seminary, majoring in the languages, either Old Testament or New Testament Greek, get out of seminary and not use it. I wouldn't have spent those hours doing that. I would not have. That would have been just laborious torture if I wasn't going to use it. But it is amazing how many of my peers sold their books right at graduation time. Sold their Hebrew books and the textbooks and books that went with it or their Greek. I just don't understand that. Much has been given to them and they've thrown it aside. You don't need the languages. But people, if you have the language, you're enriched with other things in the scriptures. It's just amazing. Now, while they are one, they're not necessarily equal in performance of their gift, and they're not equal in their rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Each one, going back in context, remember the first lesson we had in 1 Corinthians 3 was context. We're going to understand this chapter by context. And verse 5, looking at them individually, each one will receive future to the judgment seat of Christ. What is important here is the future tense. When? When will this distribution of rewards take place or the withholding of them at the judgment seat of Christ? There are two judgments that are important in the future. One, for believers of the church age only, judgment seat of Christ. Second, the great white throne judgment at the time at the end of the millennium, end of human history. The only ones who will be there at that judgment will be unbelievers throughout history. And they will be there because they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. What is important? that at neither of these two judgments, judgment seat of Christ, great white throne judgment, are sins brought up. They will not be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ. They will not be brought up at the great white throne judgment. People, they were taken care of by Christ on the cross. If you believe that, there's no way that you can believe that sins will be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ, or that they will be brought up to the unbeliever at the great white throne judgment. Either he took care of them or he didn't. It's that simple. But here, along with the future tense of the verb to receive, is the active voice referring to every pastor teacher throughout the church age. Indicative mood, here's the reality. Every pastor teacher faces the reality standing at the judgment seat of Christ, as all of you do. Well, just because you do not believe in these does not mean that there is no heaven, no hell. Well, many believers do not believe and do not like the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. But it is reality, not only for the pastor teacher, but for every believer. And you will not be able to blame your husband, your wife, or even your pastor teacher. We'll see that as we go through this morning. We each make a daily decision about Jesus Christ, about His Word, and about His Spirit. And people, you make it every day. Every day. You make a decision about Christ. How important He is. Telling others about Him. You make a decision about His Word. If you're too busy to read His Word, too busy to assemble with believers when they assemble, you're too busy. And then about His Spirit. Don't ever do anything outside of the Spirit of God. But the indicative mood tells us this is reality. You better live your life each day in the reality of eternity. We'll receive His very own reward. Paid in time, rewarded in eternity. Given some kind of salary in time, rewarded in eternity. And I'm afraid in modern America, many pastors are being paid a lot more in time than they're going to be rewarded in eternity. No one laughed. I thought that was a great statement. All right. It is proper and biblical that a pastor receives wages from his congregation. A lot of passages teach that. From those who receive spiritual food from the pastor teacher. Is it not right for him to receive material blessings from you, since you receive spiritual blessings from him? 1 Corinthians 9:11. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? Okay. Now, I think that verse speaks for itself. But this is not what is being referred to here in 1 Corinthians 3:8. Here, that the foundation is the true gospel, not a false gospel, and the building material is a sound teaching of the Word of God. But this means he has to spend his life studying and teaching the Word of God, in season and out, in failure and in success. He has to study and teach the Word of God. Verse 8 again, he who plants, he who waters are one, but each will receive his very own reward according to his own labor. All right, now we come to the phrase, his own labor. The Greek word kopos in the Greek, translated beating, wailing, grief with beating of the breast, toil, labor, wearisome effort. I think one of the nicest things that Judith has said to me since we married, she had no idea. She said, I had no idea how many hours you had to spend in there. So I don't see how you can think that long. After 1 hour, I'm through. That just amazed her. That's what's got to be done. It's got to be done. You've got to spend your time at the desk studying the Word of God. For we are God's fellow workers, verse 9. You are God's field, God's building. Pastors, fellow workers, you are God's field. So you're referred to as a field. and you're referred to as a building. See? In the first part of the chapter, referred to your spiritual growth. Babies are mature. But now we're seeing the importance of another relationship of issue for each one of us. And that is our relationship with God. Relationship of the pastor teacher with God. Relationship of the congregation with God. This is the design and purpose of the local church, of the individual. Two things to note right off. Comparison. Contrast. We, you. Pastor teachers, congregation. And note the threefold reference to God. God's fellow workers, God's field, God's building. That's what you are. You are God's building. We, pastor teachers, are God's fellow workers. Pastor teachers, not competing and not to be pitted against one another. Pastor teachers, connect each member with God. Genitive possession, belonging to God. God's fellow workers, belonging to God. And this is how they should see themselves. And by the way, this is how the congregation should see them. Not belonging to you, belonging to God. Now let us see how all this fits together. You, in contrast with we. Note you are in relationship with God. Not just the pastor, but you are. You are God's field. King James, you are God's husbandry. I don't know how many of you know what husbandry refers. Dictionary, the cultivation or production of plants and animals. Okay? Years ago, I didn't know what that was. Husbandry, I mean, they're married. Okay? Has nothing to do with that. Has to do with plants and animals. This is the only occurrence of this word in the Greek New Testament. The root of this Greek word means ground, earth, land. Plus, in the word, the ideal of to work the land. Our word refers to a worked field. You will notice in the margin of the NASB, it is translated cultivated land. That's what you are before God. The word refers to the field of labor of the pastor teacher, the field or labor of God, belonging to God. Each farmer has his own field to plant and to water. And so, too, each pastor teacher has his own field, his own local church, not a denomination, but his own local church. Now, Paul changes the metaphor. From verse 6, he has been using agricultural metaphor. Then here in verse 9, he changes to building, which he will advance on in verses 9 through 15. So he changes the metaphor. God's field, God's building. The emphasis in verse 9 is on God. What belongs to him? Now, I have to realize, you don't belong to me. You belong to God. You're God's field. You're God's building. Every believer should see himself as a building belonging to God, and see each other as a building belonging to God. Therefore, you don't judge one another. You pray for one another, help one another, encourage one another. And just as you are careful about how your home is built and the material used, work on it, who works on it, so too you should be more concerned about your own soul, your spiritual life. I know people care more about, well, we got to get a really good plumber. We got to get a really good electrician. And those are important. You get a pitiful electrician, your house burns down. Big deal. See? Got to have a good foundation. That's very important. Foundation's so important. If it starts shaking like this, you'd hope it doesn't happen while you're in it. But it shakes and moves. And the level that it does at, maybe they're going to have to go in and redo your foundation. And then your building material that you use. So verses 10 to 15, the builders. Note the progression in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. But let each man, each pastor, stay with context. It's not a believer's, each pastor. Be careful how he builds upon it, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. Okay. Everything we receive from God is on the basis of grace. You're saved by grace. You're given a spiritual gift by grace. You're given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit by grace. And you're empowered by the Spirit by grace. And it is by grace that a pastor teacher is given an assembly, a building. All right. Which was given to me. Aorist, passive participle. The aorist participle of foundation in Jesus Christ. Passive voice, very important. Emphasizes the grace aspect of receiving from God. Receiving from God. People, if I do not thank God for you, do you realize what I'm saying to God? Well, you should have given me 100, 200, 500. I'm blaspheming God. I'm challenging God. This is between you and God that you're here, not between you and me. Yes?
I guess I'm not following. I'm very bothered here on page 10, passive. Why is it so important that it's passive?
That passive? Okay. The subject receives the action of the verb by grace. So the pastor receives or is given to him by grace that assembly. And that's just what I'm saying. If I'm hostile to God about it, well, you should have given me more than 15 on Wednesday night. You should give me more than what we have on Sunday. Yeah, no, I'm blaspheming him. This is what he's given. This is what I should be thankful for and am thankful for every one of you. And when I'm in prayer in my desk every day, I pray for you.
Okay, go through that one more time.
Okay, the passive voice. All right, we're dealing with the phrase, which was given to me according to the grace of God, which was given to me. Now, he's talking about the foundation and the local church. It was given to him. He did not earn or deserve it. The passive voice says he received it by grace. He receives it. The passive voice, subject receives the verb. And in our context, it's by grace. So he did not earn or deserve. No pastor earns or deserves that congregation. It's received from God by them. By God, from God. Okay? It's a grace gift. It says, to me, your spiritual gift is given to you, but it's for the local church. I'm a pastor teacher, but it's not for me. It's for you. I do my spiritual growth not for my own teaching, while I'm sitting at my desk studying the Word of God, just like you do. Then I come here and teach. That's for your spiritual growth. See? Your spiritual gift, and every one of you have one, we're studying this at the 9:15 class, is not for you. It's for your use, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 12, for the common good of the body of Christ. You take the whole world, and you take lots of believers all over the world, little church here, church there, church, all over the world. Spiritual gifts, same Spirit, same Christ, as the head. And all the gifts function all over the world for the common good. The glory of Christ. It's for the common good.
So how do you treat when you have the social gospel guys out there and they are mining for parishioners, and they're getting them in, what kind of context is that?
It's context on the people. And I'm going to come to that. It's your responsibility. It is your responsibility who you listen to. It's your responsibility whom you pick to be a plumber, electrician, builder, carpenter, cabinet maker, dentist, heart surgeon, whatever it is you need. It's your decision. And if you like a charlatan, then that's your decision.
So under the volitional framework that he set up, then if you walk in the wrong door, that's your fault.
Not if you walk in the wrong door, but if you sit down and you realize this isn't the gospel, this isn't based on the gospel, I need to be out of here. You know,
but there's so many people who've never heard it.
Okay, they've never heard it, they will. The Holy Spirit, all right, even in a Joel Osteen, he'll mention the Bible. occasionally. And sometimes he slips and mentions the Bible, mentions the Lord. So the Holy Spirit can activate that. Oh, wait, what am I learning about the Lord? And I'll guarantee you, if you're searching, well, the scripture says so, knock and I will hear you. They'll run into somebody at work, somebody from right here, at work, pleasure, having fun, something, and you'll start talking about it. And you'll start talking about what's going on. And one of you, one of us, will say to them something. Well, how do you know that? What's in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Where'd you? The Bible. The Word of God. See? I'll give you a good example. I just started going down Texas A&M Dental College downtown. And my dental student who's studying to be a dentist, her dad's a dentist in Rockwall. And, oh, it's going to be so fun. It's going to be father and daughter, not father and son, because she's going to go into work with him. But we were the first time I was with her. She goes to Rockwall Bible Church, and I said, so, can I assume you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior? She said, absolutely. So time progresses, and I said, well, let me ask you something. Does your church believe in dispensations? Bless her heart, she just looked at me, and she said, what's that? I knew immediately about the church. I know immediately about the pastor. I know immediately what she's not getting. And all this, I didn't say all that to her. I just said, well, let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is going to come to earth again? Oh, yeah, yeah, I believe that. Well, what has got to happen before he can come back? That's what she did. She went, all believers have to go up something. And I said, the rapture? That's it, the rapture. And I said, that's it. And then there's the 7 years of tribulation. It's that. So I learned about her pastor, but I learned about her hunger. So I took her a little book on Tommy Ice has a book, and it gives just quick synopsis of all the issues in prophecy. And it defines dispensations and defines the things in Revelation, defines these things for you, and they're the dictator of the Roman Empire and all that. And then I also gave her a copy of our Foundation of the Bible. And just this last time, when I gave it to her, I said later on, I said, now, I don't believe any coincidences or just happenings that you and I are together here. This is of God. I hope you will listen to some of those lessons. And she said, I will. I don't know if she will or not, but I pray she does. And it opens her eyes to things. But this is what we're here for. People are not even aware of what they're not getting. They're not aware of what they're not getting. They're not aware unless they're getting good, solid food. You're not aware. Bologna looks pretty good if you've never seen a T-bone steak. If you've never seen a T-bone steak in your life, piece of bologna looks good.
So if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, He can also help you move towards a church that'll get you a start.
Absolutely.
Starting with either, you know, theme or you takes a dictionary of information just to be able to start putting the narrative together. So you're going to tell me that the Holy Spirit's standing there going, that ain't your place, you need to go over here.
No, I try to give milk. I try to give good, solid food to most of you. But I try to give milk, and especially if I see someone I don't know. Even if it's not in there, I'll work in the milk. I'll get it in there. Just simple doctrines, simple truths, indwelling of the Spirit, how we're filled with the Spirit, this type of thing. So, but the Holy Spirit can take up that slack if you really want to learn. You really want to learn. I remember I walked in the same church and sat down and, but boy, what that caused me, ask questions. And I'll never forget a man named Bill Dorman, who graduated from Dallas Seminary. We overlapped while we were there. I have no idea where he is today. I know that he did not stay in a church somewhere. But he spent about 45 minutes after class one night taking me through an understanding of dispensations. And I'm very appreciative of him. You spend his time, took me through the whole gamut. And that night put so much together, not only on dispensations, but on other things that I was being taught. So if you're hungry, you're not frightened off. Well, this is too deep for me. I need to go back somewhere else. No, I want to know what's going on here. I want to know what I don't know. See? And so this is what the Holy Spirit will do to a person who's hungry for the truth, wants to know the truth. See? Okay? Okay. Now, this is a gift given to him. As it is given to many in the Old Testament to build the temple. Paul refers to himself as a chief sinner, but by the grace of God, he is now a master builder. I laid a foundation. Well, we could spend a great deal of time here. Every one of you who has lived in a house knows the all importance of a foundation. Not a good foundation, you'll spend a great deal of time and money repairing it. Or, if you better, do a lot of work searching out what kind of foundation you have that's been laid, considering the groundwork of where you live. Now, before we move on, we must ask the question, what is the foundation that Paul laid, and can it be simplified for us? Verse 11. Verse 11, Christ is that foundation, the Son of God. The one sent by God to be our Savior. The God-man, crucified, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session, coming back. And the one who will be with us and we will be with for all eternity. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. And here, by the grace of God, Paul, another just like me. Paul's not arrogant. There is no one like me. He didn't say that. Another one just like me. He says another, using the Greek word meaning another like me, is building upon it. I laid a foundation. That was his gift of apostle. Start churches. Another comes in and builds on it. You must have a solid foundation to build upon. But each man, be careful how he builds upon it. The warning here is primarily referring to the choice of materials. Verses 12 through 13, in other words, how he builds upon it refers to the teaching, what he teaches. I've made this a few points. One, the building throughout this passage is the believer. You are builders, you're the building of God. Maturity. To learn all that God has freely given. Chapter 2, verse 6 and 12. We learn that we might learn more to love Jesus Christ and serve Him effectively in the spiritual warfare. This is what education's about. You learn what you learned in the 5th grade so that you're able to learn what you learned in the 6th grade. This becomes important as you enter junior high school. You learn arithmetic so that you can learn geometry. You learn geometry and arithmetic so that you can understand algebra. You learn algebra so that you can understand trig. You learn trig so that you can understand logarithms. And it just continues. You've got to have the foundation first to lay the ground for the next. Point two, the foundation upon which all is built is Jesus Christ. Verse 11. This is a full understanding of the gospel. People, doctrine of kenosis, hypostatic union. These kinds of doctrines are paramount in understanding what happened on the cross. Understanding why He is our Savior. Spiritual death. These concepts that a lot of people know nothing about are paramount for you, for me, in understanding Jesus Christ. It's essential. Three, the building material, the Word of God. Sound doctrine, the wisdom of God. Another is building upon it by using the Word of God or sound doctrine. The builders, so we have the building, believers. The foundation, Jesus Christ. Three, the building material, the Word of God. Four, the builders. pastor teachers, chapters 3 and 4. Skilled laborers must be skilled in teaching sound doctrine and teaching the truth. And then you come to point 5, the power source. That's the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 6. God causes growth. The energy that results in effective teaching is the Holy Spirit. Continue process all your life. You're never through being built. Fruit of the Spirit, Bible doctrine. Now 6 is the goal of all of this. The goal, objective of the laborer. Galatians 4:19, my children with whom I am, I again labor until Christ is formed in you. That's what you want. Christ formed in you. Then we go back to verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 3. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In the English, man is given in the place of the importance at the beginning of the verse, while in the Greek, foundation is the first word in the sentence. It says, the foundation, in the Greek, the foundation of your life, even of your Christian life, is of the supreme importance. The foundation is first in the passage. What kind of foundation is your marriage built upon? What kind of foundation are your finances built upon? People, these are crucial issues. Let me give you a silly example. If your marriage is built on sex, you're headed for disaster. Your body's going to grow older. And if sex is it, you're headed for divorce. You're headed for misery. If your marriage is built on money, you're headed for disaster. See? Got to pick the foundation. What kind of foundation are your finances built on? Got to have a lot of money? Got to have it? Or, thank you, Lord, for what I have. What kind of foundation is your spiritual life built on? For foundation other, no one is able to lay, is what the Greek says. For foundation other pastors, no one is other foundations, no one is able to lay. See that word other? This refers to another of the same kind. You cannot build a foundation like the one that is built on Jesus Christ, other than Jesus Christ. You cannot build a foundation on denominations, on some movement, Mormons, Muslims, Scientology. Even if you build a foundation based on a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and so on, none come close to that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, as he is taught in his word, and only in his word, not by heresies. Some claim they receive through an angel, like the Mormons or the Muslims. You must be very careful of the foundations you lay in your spiritual life. The superstructure you build upon the foundation is also a vital responsibility. A foundation is laid. That foundation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you understand all of the gospel, it's only by faith, only in Jesus Christ, and you cannot lose that. You're ready. If a pastor comes along and says, now you've got to do this and this, wait a minute. I didn't have to do anything to be saved. Why are you telling me I have to do something to be spiritual? Why isn't it just by faith? It's the same God. See? If you lay that good foundation, you can do that. That's the whole thing of math. It builds geometry especially. It builds on this. And then you're able to understand quorums. You understand different theorems in the geometry, but you've got to understand the first one, the second one, the third, then they're all built on this. If you understand truthfully your gospel, and you hear some false teaching, nobody needs to tell you it's false. You go, wait a minute. That's not how I was saved. I wasn't saved by confession. I wasn't saved by repentance. I wasn't saved by doing anything. I was saved by grace through faith. Why are you parting with that? See? And that's a fair question to ask a pastor. Why are you parting from that? And listen to his rhetoric. See? But it's so important that you have that foundation. Now you have to be very careful how you build on this foundation. You must be so sure of the foundation and then keep on guard of the material you're using to build, the superstructure, that foundation. You have to know the truth about the gospel, that it is by faith alone in Christ alone, and that it comes from the Word of God alone, Jesus Christ, Savior, Messiah. All right? Jesus Christ is the foundation of the Christian faith, life, and hope. James told you a few moments ago he added a whole page and a half to my message. There it is. He gave you all these different interpretations or translations of the same verse. You can read those. But for the sake of time, let's move on. Now, we come to a major point in our study. Building material according to the Bible of a pastor teacher. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day, judgment seat of Christ, will show it, because it is revealed, it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. People, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be on the basis of what I use to teach you. That's going to be the basis. Now, John Hintz and I were just talking this week, yesterday or the day before, that be real fun at the judgment seat of Christ. If somebody says, I never heard that, and the Lord says, would you run tape 509? And on there comes a picture of that person's pastor teaching that. They weren't there. That person teaching that, and they sat there and didn't pay attention. See? So it's very interesting, the material. So let's take a look now. Stern words of warning for every pastor teacher. Every pastor teacher should look at these words at least once a year. Go over this passage. Now, if any man in context, pastor teacher throughout church age, builds by studying and teaching upon the foundation of salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, hopefully the foundation that the assembly is built on, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. This is a reference to building material used by the pastor teacher. Some people say this is the rewards given to people. It is not rewards given. Some people say it defines the work of believers in their life. It doesn't define that. It refers to building material. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, and straw refer to building material. There are six kinds of material referred to here, and they are each from the Word of God. You hear me? They're each from the Word of God. The wood, hay, and straw does not refer to heretical teaching. It does not refer to wrongful teaching. They refer to lightweight teaching that will not pass the test of time, will not pass the test that comes in a believer's life. A teenager commits suicide. Where was the gold and silver and precious stones? If they went to church, they probably got wood, hay, and straw. It will not carry you through it. It will blow with the wind. It will blow with the wind. Wood a little stronger. Hay a little weaker. Straw a little weaker. But it's just lightweight teaching. And that's all that's given from there. Sunday after Sunday. Wood, hay, straw. Sunday after Sunday. You can't grow that way. You're like living in a straw house. And when the winds come, it's over. These two categories are divided. The first word group, those that will stand the test of time, the test of fire. Those that will not are in the second group. Good, solid material to build your life on, gold and silver and precious stones. But people, that takes time. It takes time to get the gold and the silver. Then it takes time to put it together. Hey, you just put together and you got a arbor very quickly. But not with gold and silver and precious stones. It takes the builder time. It takes you time to do it. The poor, insufficient material, wood, hay, and straw. Quick, build quickly and will be consumed quickly. You will note that there are somewhat degrees in both categories. Degrees in the good, degrees in the poor. For example, a house of wood will not burn down as fast as a house of straw, and gold is more precious than silver. But both can withstand, gold and silver, stand the test of time. That's what hope you're getting. People, this church is not about knowledge. I don't want you to go out thinking you just know more than anybody else. It's about your marriage, your single life, your life. Withstanding. So that when disaster occurs, you are of the strength to write, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." You're able to do that because your foundation, the building material of gold and silver. There is one foundation, but there are two kinds of builders. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. So we know as we examine these that they both are born-again believers. Both sets are saved eternally. One represents the solid teaching of the Word of God, studying and teaching in doctrine and teaching sound doctrine. While the other uses all kinds of gimmicks from passages, messages that tickle the ears, make people feel good. And all these churches look so fantastic, but it will not take much fire to bring them down. It is not that the wood, hay, and straw are lies or even false doctrine. It's just simply if that's all you get Sunday after Sunday, week after week, you're not building your life on anything solid. It's simply that there's no solid food there, going back to verse 1. You're building your life on milk. You need protein. You need vitamins, herbs, minerals. No, you need more than just feeling good. Nice stories, humorous anecdotes. You need something to walk out. Wow, I wonder what that meant. I wonder how that applies to my life. I wonder what this is. That's good. I've done my job. Do not learn much. Do not grow much with the wood, hay, and straw. Do not advance to maturity. And when the test of fire comes into your life, you have nothing to hold on to except other weak people. That's why you lean on people. Are you taught that Jesus Christ is the only foundation of your life? And oh, please know that it is just as much your responsibility as it is the pastor teacher's responsibility. A congregation that sits and supports with their money, wood, hay, and straw, is just out of the plan of God. As the pastor teacher who teaches it is out of the plan of God. And to build your soul on the foundation of Christ with gold and silver and precious stones takes lots of time, stone by stone, doctrine by doctrine, throughout your entire life. Now, there are many Christians who may lay a stone this Sunday, then next Sunday get a stone, and they fiddle-faddle their way through life, never really getting very far or building a solid building. You got to think about your life. We have many freedoms in the Christian life. And one of the most important choices we have is to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Just read a quote this morning. It was given in about 1700s that the Protestant church seems to value freedom more than unity, while the Roman Catholic church values unity more than freedom. People, you got to understand what you're building your life on. It's your life. You spend the time to come to a church. You take money that you've earned and support. You've got to be very careful what you're supporting. This is a Bible church, and we're concerned only with the Word of God. We're concerned only with the gold, silver, precious stones. There are a lot of people who have gold, silver, precious stones, referring to productions in their lives, and the Holy Spirit, while wood and straw, to works in the flesh. That's not what the Scripture is saying. These do not refer to works. These refer to building material. Two categories are being talked about. The point of issue starts in verse 12, any man. Verse 13, each man's. Verse 14, if any man's work which he has built upon it. So the question is, to whom does this man refer? Does it refer to any and every believer? Or in context, is it referring to the pastor-teacher building on the foundation of Christ? Context, it refers to the pastor-teacher, planting, watering, laying a foundation, and building on the foundation. So gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, and straw, refers to material, doctrines, used by the pastor in teaching his assembly. People, let me tell you something. A pastor that's called to visit hospitals, visit old age homes, these are wonderful things. I'm not mocking them. These are the jobs of the deacons, the jobs of people in the church. He's got to spend his time studying the Word of God. It isn't that he doesn't care. It's that he spends his time studying the Word of God. I love the way Ironside put it. He said a friend of his convinced him to go to the hospital. He didn't normally do that. Spent his time at home studying. And went to the hospital. Said he learned more than he was ever able to offer. But the man was dying and wanted to see Ironside. So he goes in, and he said, I watched my friend. He walked over, put his hand under the man's head, and whispered, Ironside's here to see you. And he took his hand off and turned to me. He said, I have never felt so inadequate. I have never felt so unprepared. I didn't know what to do. I watched that man. That was a gift. He said, I slowed down, and I settled down, and gave the man what I had. I leaned over, just like he did, and whispered doctrine. And the man smiled. And he said, I learned a great deal that day. See, a pastor has to spend his time studying and teaching the Word of God so that you can live your life in the day and the things that are going on in life. With this passage in mind, well, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. It's a reality of the future. And we've studied this verse, that each one, each believer, may be recompensed. Here's the issue, may be recompensed. King James and the NIV translate this verse, may receive. But this verb is richer than simply receiving. Why did Paul use this word? The verb carries with it the ideal of bringing something and receiving something else back. What the believer brings to God is now given to us for his deeds in his body. Actually, deeds is not in the Greek transcript. It's simply the definite article. The things through the body according to what things he has done. The Greek word is proso, expressing an action, repeatedly practiced. This is not talking about isolated sins. Nor are we speaking about isolated times when filled with the Holy Spirit. This is daily life, whether good or bad. And I think we spend enough time on noting bad does not refer to sins. Bad refers to what is not done in the Holy Spirit. Good refers to what is done in the Holy Spirit. So now we have to determine what is good and what is bad. Not in our eyes, nor in the eyes of man, but what is good and what is bad? The eyes of the judge, Jesus Christ himself. Therefore, 1 Samuel 16:7, take a look at it. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. He's looking at the sons, David's brothers, big, hearty-looking guys. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. What is good? All things in the power of the Holy Spirit. What is bad? All things done in the flesh. Out of the Holy Spirit. So, if you're paying attention, bad can include such things as giving, singing, witnessing, doing things in the assembly, and so on. Many Christians put a false front, appearing to be righteous, while in fact they're not. Performing in the flesh to express themselves and to impress others, thinking they're pleasing God. Principle, if you're thinking good, refers to all things we do by the filling of the Spirit, That is walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Anything not in faith is sin. It misses the mark. Principle. But bad does not refer to sin in the normal sense of sin. Why? For all sins have been judged on the cross. Not to be judged again. And by the way, we all have some wood, hay, and straw. But only a few. And this is what you want to have in your soul, in your life. Gold, silver, and precious stones. So be sure your pastor is teaching, building a foundation of your salvation with gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, some people break these down, which doctrines refer to gold, which doctrines refer to silver, which doctrines refer to precious stones. Gold, of course, would refer to the gospel, spirituality by grace through faith, those basic things. Silver, all the other doctrines in the Christian life. Hypostatic union, doctrine of kenosis, doctrine that we're studying right now. Precious stones, to me that would be prophecy, understanding what God is going to do in the future, these kind of things. The first decision is to pick your foundation. Will it be faith in Jesus Christ for salvation or some works program? Then after you've made that decision, you make the decision to believe in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, but now your life as a believer again. And now you have a very important decision. What church are you going to attend regularly for the growing in the Word of God? Upon what are you going to build your life? Gold, silver, precious stones, or the wood, hay, and straw? May God add His blessing to the reading, studying, exhorting in His Word. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father, we covered a lot. Well, we know Your Spirit can clear, make these things clear to us. Give us understanding of them. And Father, it is our purpose to build our life on gold and silver and precious stones. Not so that we can arrogantly flaunt in front of others. That we can know in our own soul what we're built of in our soul and our relationship with You. We can know in our own soul things that we can withstand. We have a small assembly here. The family of Thomas and this assembly was able to withstand and go through it. And Tish, Tanya, others in this church, that we know the battles they fought. But Father, we know that others here have battles that we do not know about. But they've made it through it, glorifying You. And Father, we thank You that the material that we use is free. And it's abundant. It's abundant. Gold mine in the Word of God. Silver mine in the Word of God. Precious stones all through. And we want every one of them. Father, we pray You continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel, and the teaching on the internet, with our young people, and with those right here in this assembly. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name, and for His glory. Amen.